like that. Yes, he's my Lord. Yes, he's my Lord. And he has risen from the dead, and he's my Lord. Oh,
serve a risen Savior. Let's stand. Just feel led to sing this little chorus. He's worthy. All hail King Jesus. Supposed to lead songs, but I just came to worship him. Amen. You just help me out. Amen. He's a lovely God we serve. It's good to be in church. God bless you. This is 137 in your handbook. Thankful for power in the blood.
Oh, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's Calvary's God. Oh, yes, there's wonderful power. Yes, there is power, power. There's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you be wider, much wider than so? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power. There's wonder-working power in the blood. Why don't you turn and shake hands with your neighbor? Tell them there's power tonight.
Happy to see all of you that were able to make it out on this nice, cool evening. At least we're not having all the snow and the ice and so forth. And by the grace of God, perhaps we won't have all of that this winter. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll just tough through it. I want to welcome the Bryant family back. I was really surprised to see Brother and Sister Bryant and Anthony and Tina and the children. Nice to see him back, though, but it was a surprise. Brother Bryant said he had to get back. So, all right. We have one announcement that I know of, and that's for tomorrow night, 7:30 to 9:30, the Youth Bible Study. For those of you that can make it. Prayer request tonight, Sister April put in a prayer request for her uncle, Vernon Olson. Said he's having severe side effects to the medication he's on, and he also has developed Bell's palsy. So let's remember that gentleman in prayer. Brother Nathan texted me and said if Philip's not feeling well, his migraines kicked in today, so let's hold him up in prayer and ask the Lord to deliver him. And Sister Naomi Nicholson has a cough, and she needs deliverance from that. And Sister Stephanie Duval had a procedure done on her knee today, so let's remember her in prayer for complete and perfect healing. Brother Angelo had called and he's lost his keys. And we all know how important keys are. He referenced, got lost in my thought there someplace. The brother whose car was stolen, I got lost. Evans, I should know that. But anyway, just put it down to me. He referenced that, how God brought his car back and he could help him find the keys. And we believe that. And remember Brother Nathan, he's preaching tonight, and so let's remember him in prayer as well. Anyone else have anything? You know, lift a hand on your somebody on your heart or something in need. All right, let's all go to prayer. Brother Steve, would you come, please?
God bless you, saints. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thinking about that song we were just singing, about there being power in the blood. Lord, it's battle, and battle was won there on the cross, and then as you shed your blood for us, and then you resurrected, Lord. But yet, you love to see how we will display faith in you and come to you with our petitions and with our prayers. Lord, you know the end from the beginning. You know the answer. You know what's going to happen in these situations. But yet, it pleases you for us to lift it up in prayer. And we do that this evening, thinking about the man that has complications to the drugs and Bell's palsy and all the different things. Lord, we're a needy people in a dying world, Lord, but we look forward to your answer to each situation that we lift up tonight, and we know there'll be more situations tomorrow and next week until you come, Lord, but we're looking forward to that day when you'll come and take this bride away. Lord, help us to trim our lamps. Help us, Lord, to do what you lay on our heart and what you reveal to us through your word. Looking forward to hearing the word tonight. Pray that you'd strengthen Brother Hoover, Lord. Help him to just deliver what you've put on his heart. Help us, Lord, just to draw a little closer to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to relax and not be afraid to lift our hands and to worship you for all the things that you've done and all the things you're going to do. Lord, we love you and we commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers, would please come at this time. This is 176 in your hymn book. So thankful for that blessed assurance Brother Branham talked about. The lady thought he had that insurance policy, but he had an assurance policy. Amen. Blessed assurance. Yes, Jesus is. And oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Oh, I'm an heir of salvation. I'm purchased of Spirit, I'm washed in his blood.
shine on me, Lord, shine down on me, and let the light from the lighthouse shine on me, shine on me, Lord, shine.
Aren't you glad he shined on your path one day?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You can be seated for a moment. Greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask for your prayers tonight. I've had a wonderful week battling the devil. And I hear that some other folks have too. So I'm just expecting the Lord to show up tonight and to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, and that's we can't win the battle because he's already won it. Amen? It's good to see the Bryants back tonight. We missed you. We missed you, Brother Anthony. Very good to have you back. Just not the same when someone's missing, is it? Because we're family. Thank you, musicians. I'm going to get started here in a minute. Take my 20 minutes like Brother Trevor accuses me of. If I'm going to be accused of it, I'll just go ahead. No, I won't take 20 minutes to get started. But you pray for me. I told the brothers downstairs before we had prayer. I said, pray for me. Either Joel's got it real cold in here or I'm nervous because my hands are freezing and I don't know how this is going to go. I'll give you a little bit of background. A little over a week ago, Brother Stephen Soderquist called me and said, would you be willing to fill in on Sunday morning for me in my Sunday school class? And I said yes. And so I asked him what they'd been studying on, and he told me a little bit about it, and I prayed, and I couldn't get any leading that way. And finally, Saturday night, about 12:30 in the morning, I'm upstairs and laying before the Lord, and all of a sudden he laid thought on my heart about the rich young ruler and eternal life and what the value of eternal life is and how people don't value it. And so we taught that Sunday morning. And then Wednesday night, Brother Layton comes up here and preaches about the rich young ruler. And I'm like, well, okay. I must not have got the point across or something, but if I was a young man in Brother Stephen's class, I'd be wondering what the Holy Spirit was trying to speak to me, to speak it on Sunday morning and then on Wednesday evening. And then we listened to the tape the other day about witnessing, and Wednesday morning before Brother Layton preached, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I come wide awake, and I was laying there in bed and just began to talk to the Lord. I was trying to figure out who it was I was supposed to pray for, you know, which one of my kids was in trouble or which person in the church was going through something. And so I just began to pray, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke 4 words to me, just as clear as could be. I didn't hear an audible voice, but down in my heart I heard these 4 words. And then he began to work me over with them. And The four words are, do you know him? And as all of you that were here last Wednesday night know, that for the last part of Brother Layton's message, he said those words over and over and over. And I got through, or he got through, and so I went home and I went back up in my room where I talked to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't have anything to preach now. You know, Brother Layton's already preached it. He copied my Sunday school lesson, and now he preached my message before I had a chance to even dig into it or anything. Bring it on, brother. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm just not adequate enough, and the Lord has to use other brothers, you know. But I felt like we were in the right channel, and so this past week I've just been studying and praying, and tonight we're going to preach about, do you know him? All right. Amen. If it sounds like an echo, then that's the Holy Spirit echoing. That's not Brother David and Brother Layton putting this together, because neither one of us talked, and Brother Stephen and I, we talked about what he had been teaching, and I went completely off of that, so I believe that the Holy Spirit's trying to get a hold of somebody's heart and let you know that eternal life is worthwhile, and that the only way you're going to have eternal life is you have to know him. Yes. So with that, we will endeavor to get ourselves out of the way and let the Holy Spirit speak. If you want to stand with me, we're going to read several scriptures. I'll just read the first one, maybe the first two, and then you can be seated and I'll get to the rest of them as we go. In Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 17, the Bible reads this, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, if you would turn with me as you remain standing to John, the 3rd chapter, very familiar scripture. All these are going to be very familiar to you tonight. John, the 3rd chapter, 1st and 2nd verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, just this is not part of my sermon, but I just want to make note of this so that you'll recognize this. Did you ever wonder who the we is in that verse there? Nicodemus didn't come of his own accord. He didn't come just speaking for Nicodemus. But there'd been a discussion amongst the Pharisees, maybe in the Sanhedrin, about this man called Jesus, and they sent Nicodemus. He got elected, and he came. Skipping to the 4th verse, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Skipping down to the 9th verse, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for each and every one that's gathered in tonight under your word, Lord. We've come underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. We didn't come to be seen. We didn't come to see who was going to be here, who wasn't going to be here. But we came, Lord, for one purpose. We wanted to exalt you. We wanted to lift you up. We wanted to worship you for all that you've done for us and all that you are still going to do and all that you are doing right now, Lord. We give you praise and glory tonight. We've read your word now in the hearing of the congregation. Lord, we're blessed just to hear it and read it. But Lord, our hearts hunger for something more than that. We want you to come down and break the bread of life to us. I'm just a man standing here. I have these thoughts and these ideas that you laid upon my heart. But Lord, only you can actually break the bread to the people. Only you can actually feed us, Lord, with your word. We ask that you would come now, Lord, take over my lips, take over my thoughts.
take my entire being, Lord, under your control and speak to your people, and we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Turning on to Acts, the second chapter, another very familiar scripture. We'll read the 37th verse. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 16. Now we're at the Philippian jailer's house. And in Acts the 16th chapter in the 30th verse, we read this. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And for our last scripture this evening, well, I should say for the time being, Romans the 10th chapter, starting with the 13th verse, Romans 10 and 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Excuse me while I take this jacket off. So I've read five portions of scripture in your hearing tonight. And those five portions of scripture all pertain to someone asking a question because they realized that there was something that they didn't have that they needed. The rich young ruler realized that there was eternal life and that he needed it, but he knew he did not have it. And he came running to Jesus and he knelt down and he said, Good master, what must I do to, or what shall I do to inherit eternal life? In John, the third chapter, Nicodemus came and he asked Jesus, By what power, how do you do these things that are of God? Because we know that no man can do this. And Jesus spoke these words to him and said, You must be born again. And Nicodemus immediately responds and says, I'm paraphrasing here. He says, I don't understand. How can that happen? And Jesus explains to him about the Spirit and how you're born again of the water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus, a very learned man, because the Pharisees all were learned in the Scripture. And Brother Branham said you couldn't touch their life and that they knew the scripture, but Nicodemus didn't know what Jesus was talking about because it wasn't anything they'd ever picked up through their learning and through their knowledge of the scripture, because it took a revelation to understand that he had come to destroy, to fulfill the law, not destroy, excuse me, but to fulfill the law and bring eternal life. And Nicodemus couldn't comprehend that by his learning. And so he asked the question, how can these things be? Then the Philippian jailer was there that night whenever the earthquake happened, and he realized, I have more than just my average prisoner here, and they're now no longer prisoners, and he wanted to know, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and them told him. Now all these people had a question, and the answer to the question was a very simple thing. May I introduce you to this man called Jesus? In every instance, the person who came asking the question needed one thing. They needed to be introduced to Jesus Christ. They didn't need more theology. Their theology hadn't satisfied them. They didn't need more rules to follow. They had followed the rules and that hadn't taken care of it. They didn't need another church to join. They had joined churches and the churches hadn't satisfied them. And a lot of us are sitting here in message church pews, maybe not so much in this church, maybe in this church, but in churches around the world, there's hundreds of people, thousands of people, I would say, that are following what they think is Jesus Christ, but they've never met him. They've met an idea. They've met a tape. They've met a book. They've met a preacher that has some charisma or has some influence on them, but they haven't met Jesus Christ. And there's a promise laying in the scriptures of eternal life. Now, I'd like to demonstrate that to you tonight, and I do not know how this is going to go because I haven't rehearsed this, but this is just what the Lord laid on my heart, and hopefully it illustrates my point the way that the Holy Spirit impressed me that it would. So, there is a person in this room tonight that has a gift. That gift was given to him, and I don't know who it was given to. I know who gave it, but I don't know who it was given to. So I would like a young person who is at least 10 years old, but no older than 15. So if you've had your 10th birthday, but you haven't had your 15th birthday yet, raise your hand. Only two? Three? Okay, stand up. If you're at least 10, but you're not 15 yet, stand up. Okay. So, Brother Buckles, so I'm not the bad guy. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to stand up and look around, and there's Savannah, and there's Christian, and there is Treasure, and Elijah, and I'm sorry. Huh? Ian, and Zach, and Olivia, and... Huh? Alyssa. I need to do better learning my names. I need you to stand up. And this is not a popularity contest. Just stand up, and whichever one of these young people, I need you to pick one of them and tell me who it is that you pick. It doesn't matter. The young man? Ian? Or Zach? The one with the white collar? Yes. Come on up. I'm sorry about the names. Okay, the rest of you can be seated. Okay. Come on up. You don't have to be scared. I'm not gonna do anything to you. I'm not gonna hurt you, okay? I need you to take that. Now, somewhere in this congregation, I'm gonna make this as easy as possible for you. Somewhere in this congregation, there is a brother that has an envelope in his pocket. And that envelope is yours. The reason I know this is because on the envelope it says, all yours. That means you don't have to share it with anybody. Okay? You might want to. Okay? You have to find that person. Okay? So, not knowing which of these brothers it is, how would you find that person?
I don't know.
You would have to ask every single brother in here till you find that person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're only allowed to ask two questions. Remember this. Only two questions. You can go up to any brother you want to in any order that you want to, and you can ask these two questions. First question is, are you him? Okay. And for you brothers, you're only allowed to answer yes or no. Okay? If you're not the guy with the envelope, you have to answer no. Okay? Second question. Do you know him?
Okay.
All right, so let's practice. First question you're going to ask is, are you him?
Are you him?
No, I'm not him. Next question. Do you know him?
Do you know him?
No, I don't know which brother it is. Okay? So I'm going to give you a little bit of time. You can start on either side of the sanctuary. You can start in the back and come up front. But find the envelope.
Are you him? Do you know him? Are you him? Do you know him?
You got to ask every single one of them. You're not going to give up that easy, are you?
Are you him? Are you him?
Am I him? I don't know.
Do you have the envelope, Brother Buckles? Okay, you're not him. Do you know who has the envelope? No, he doesn't know him, so keep going.
Are you him? Do you know him? Are you him? Do you know him?
Thank you. No, he has to ask. You can't. You can't. No.
Are you him? Do you know him?
Now, stop for just a second. If you were in his shoes right now, how would you be feeling? Huh? Kind of down? Frustrated? Ready to give up? Embarrassed? Ready to give up? Okay, keep going.
Are you him? Do you know him? Are you him? Do you know him? Are you him?
No.
Do you know him?
Yes. Would you like to meet him?
Yes. Can I have the envelope? Oh. Are you him?
I'll take the microphone. You can keep the envelope, okay? All right. Now, why did we do that? Because there's a promise waiting for every one of us. Okay? There's a promise in this book, and it's waiting for every one of us. But God's not going to come down and beat you over the head and give it to you. He put a desire down in you. And if you'll seek after him and search for him, you will find him, because he's not very far from your heart. Was it worth it? Did you open up the envelope? Well, open it up. You don't have to save the envelope, okay? It's what's inside that matters. Was it worth the embarrassment? Okay. Was it worth going around the church and everybody looking at you? All right. It's worth it, folks, to seek after it, to look for it, to search for it with all of your heart, because once you find it, once you get eternal life, it's well worth anything that you had to go through. And that's the point that I want to make tonight. The rich young ruler came seeking, but when he was told what the price was, it wasn't worthwhile to him. Don't be the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, he came to the right place. He didn't have to go. Well, he may have. I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us that. But something brought him to Jesus' feet at one point. I don't know how many churches he'd been to. I don't know how many Sunday school lessons he'd listened to. I don't know how many conventions and church camps that he had been to. But he finally got to the right place. But when he got to the right place, it wasn't worth his time, he thought. He valued the things of the world more than he did eternal life. Nicodemus came to the right place. And the Bible never mentions anything about Nicodemus after his meeting with Jesus in the middle of the night. But Nicodemus came to the right place, and he spoke to the right person. Yes. But he couldn't bring it through his theological filter that it would make sense for him to give up all of the standing with the Pharisees and all the things that the Pharisees could do for him to follow this man called Jesus. He couldn't figure out being born again. And somebody is sitting here under the sound of my voice this evening, and you can't figure out the pillar of fire. You can't figure out Sunset Mountain, or you can't figure out the cloud in the sky, or you can't figure out an angel on the river. There's something maybe in this message, in this gospel that we preach, that you can't quite bring through your college-educated mind. But let me tell you something. There's only one filter it has to come through, and that's the filter of God's Word. And if you can bring it through the filter of God's Word, I adjure you tonight, and I admonish you tonight with everything that is within me. Latch on to that comes through the filter of the Word with everything that you have in you. because it's the most important thing that you can ever obtain or get your hands on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Philippian jailer, he didn't have a problem with riches, evidently. He didn't have a problem with theology, evidently. Because once he heard, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, and you and your house shall be saved. The Bible says that he obeyed and he went out and was baptized. Amen? So this might be the briefest message I've ever preached, but let me just launch into what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart laying in that bed the other morning. My question is, let's just take the word do for a moment. Do, D-O, do. It's an action word. You can't do something just sitting still. Well, you could. I don't know. But it's a word that means action. So in the question, do you know him? Do infers that there's going to be something that you're going to take action on. All right? You can't passively receive eternal life. It's impossible. So get over your ideas about, well, you know, I'll just accept him, or I'll just accept the message, or I'll just raise my hand like this when the preacher says something, and that'll do it. No, that won't do it. It requires something on your part. It requires a selling out. The rich young ruler couldn't do it, but that's what it requires. You say, Brother Hoover, I have my whole life in front of me. I did too at one time. Brother Hoover, I've got friends. I had friends too. Brother Hoover, there's this girl that means a whole lot to me. Yeah, there's one that meant a whole lot to me too. But I came to a point one night in a little church in Muncie, Indiana, and I was so miserable because there was that something down on the inside that was missing, and I realized I had to have it. Because every time the preacher would get up to preach, conviction would come upon me. Now, some of you, whenever that happens, you head for the bathroom. Some of you get your phone out. Okay? Some of you decide, I'm going to nod off right about then. But that convicting power of the Holy Spirit is going to chase you until it finds you. It chased me all over the place, but it found me in Muncie, Indiana one night. And it came to a point where I either had to say yes, or I had to say, I don't want nothing to do with it. And I had enough gumption about me. It wasn't me, it was just the grace of God. But I had enough of something in me that I realized I better not pass this chance by. Now, I might be speaking to somebody that's where you're at tonight. I don't know. I'm not trying to put guilt trips on anybody. I'm just trying to preach what God laid on my heart. But my question to you tonight is, are you willing to take action? If Jesus Christ proves himself here tonight, which I believe he already has, but are you willing to take action and take him at his word and believe him over what that professor's telling you? Believe him over what your friends are telling you? Believe him over even what mommy or daddy might be telling you if they're telling you something against this gospel? Are you willing to believe him more than any church that you've ever been associated with? Are you willing to sell out and say, it's all or nothing, God? Because that's what I did. Because this young lady was sitting beside me that night in Muncie, Indiana. And the thought came to me, the devil was sitting right here the whole time that Brother Hunter was preaching. And he said, if you agree to this message, she's going to leave you. And I pondered that. I did. I didn't just say, no big deal. Because she means something to me. She's precious. She's still the prettiest girl I've ever seen in my life. But I stood there knowing that the presence of God was present, knowing that it wasn't Brother Hunter that was saying the things that he was saying. I stood there and I considered. And I determined in my mind, they teach us in sales that the only way you're ever going to get the person to pay the price is you have to build enough value so that the price that they're paying is light considering what they're getting back in return. And nothing against her. I love her with all of my heart. But she was not worth missing out on eternal life. And I'll just say this, and I don't know who I'm talking to. Young man, young sister, there is not a person of the opposite sex walking the face of this earth that is worth missing out on eternal life. Amen. Not a one. I don't care how pretty she is. I don't care what her figure looks like. I don't care how handsome he is, how cute his feet are. None of that matters when it's stacked up against eternal life. There was a little virgin girl one day that gave birth to a son. And as that son of hers grew up and started a ministry, she said some words that I'll say to you tonight. They were at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and they ran out of wine. Now, I don't know what all it was. It might have been just the fact that she, of anybody on the face of the earth, she was more sure of the virgin birth than anybody. It might have been testimonies that had come from people that had already seen him do miracles in his ministry. I don't know. But something caused that little lady, we know her as Mary, she walked over to the servants at that feast, and she said these words, and I want to say these words to you tonight. Whatever he says to you, you do it.
Amen.
If he says, get down at that altar and cry like a baby, it'll be worth it. If he says, turn around in that seat and get down on your knees and cry out to me, it'll be worth it. If he says, stand when the preacher asks you to stand and nobody else stands, it'll be worth it. Whatever he says to you for you to do, you do it. So we got done with the word do. Now the next word that we've got here is you. And I want you to understand from over here with Brother Jerry, all the way over here to my wife, and all the way back to where the deacons are seated, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the person beside you. I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm not talking to your mommy and daddy. I'm talking to you tonight. And because it's not me, but it's the Holy Spirit that has a hold of me right now, I have the capability of speaking to every single person in this room and meaning it personally. I don't have to walk over here and single out Sister Jeannie and leave the rest of you be. When the Holy Spirit has a hold of a brother and he's preaching, he's speaking to everybody in the room because it's not him, but it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the speaking. So I truly am speaking to you tonight. I'm not speaking to that visitor that you're trying to figure out who they are and what church they came from and all that. I'm not speaking to that person tonight. I'm speaking to you. Jesus Christ came down tonight to talk to you. Just like he spoke to the rich young ruler, just like he spoke to Nicodemus, just like Paul spoke to the Philippian jailer, just like Paul talked about that preacher that was anointed and was sent. I'm speaking to you tonight. Do you. Now, the next word that we have here is know. Now, you know a lot of things. There's some very, very smart people in this room. There's people that's much smarter than I am. They have so much more abilities and talents and things than what I might have. But the Holy Spirit chose me tonight to be the one to stand up here and be used. So I'm not pointing to myself. I'm not trying to match wits with anybody. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm simply trying to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and do what he said to do. And so it's not that we're going to compare degrees tonight. We're not going to compare how much we know about the Bible, because it doesn't matter how much you know about the Bible. It matters, do you know the one who wrote the Bible?
Amen.
All right? So this is not a battle of wits. This is not who can out-arm wrestle the other one. But I'm asking you tonight, do you know Jesus Christ? Now, there are people in this room that I know of, but I can't really say that I know you. Because some of you, I've never had the opportunity to sit down and actually fellowship with you or eat a meal with you or be at your house or you be at my house or us go out to eat together. I know that you attend Church of the Elders. You say, that's awful to say, brother. I'm just telling you how it is. There's people in this room that don't know me. They know of me. Yeah, they know he's one of those people over at Brother Nathan's. But to know me, they don't really know me. In fact, no one in this room knows me as well as this lady right here knows me. Okay? She knows me. She knows me better than I want her to know me sometimes. So the question is, how much do you know Jesus Christ? Yeah, Jesus Christ is the guy that hung on the cross. The Baptists know that. The Methodists know that. The Catholics know that. The Pentecostals know that. And most of the people in the message know that. But do you know why he hung on the cross? And do you know who he was hanging on the cross for when he hung on the cross between earth and glory? You see, it's one thing to know that he did that. It's another thing to know that he did that for me. I knew that Jesus Christ hung on a cross for 27 years of my life. I've been taught it ever since I was rocked in my mama's arms and I was in Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher was having to get on me because I was the preacher's kid. I knew, Brother Buckles, that he hung on a cross. But it was 27, I was 27 years old. The day that it dawned on me that he hung on that cross for David Hoover. If none of you all had been around, he would have still went and hung on the cross just for me. Nobody taught me that. Nobody put that down in my heart. Nobody opened up my eyes to that until one day I was reading this book. It's a very interesting book. I would suggest that you would read it. It's called Exposition on the Seven Church Ages. I could tell you about Jesus' name baptism. I could explain it to you. I could show you the scriptures that proved Jesus' name baptism. But I didn't know why I had to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because I'd never met him. I'd never really met him. This is going to confound some of you, but I grew up in a Pentecostal home. I'm just going to tell you like it is. I grew up under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But like I told them down there in the youth meeting that one night with the pudding, the devil doesn't matter how much you know about the Holy Ghost. The devil doesn't matter how much you feel the Holy Ghost. The devil doesn't matter how much you have an experience in the Holy Ghost. But the one thing the devil can't stand is the fact that you're going to get down somewhere on your knees, maybe at an altar like this, maybe at a pew, maybe beside your bed, maybe as some people that I know have laying over the steering wheel of a car pulled off on the side of the road, maybe out in a sagebrush field someday. But the devil is scared to death that one of you all that doesn't have it is going to pray through until the Holy Ghost comes in you. Amen. And takes over and begins to live through you. People dancing in the spirit don't bother the devil. People speaking in tongues don't bother the devil. People jumping up and down and shouting and running all over the place, that doesn't bother the devil. But when you wake up on Monday morning full of the Holy Ghost and you get out of bed and you say, God, you're walking in these shoes today. Lord, you're using these hands today. Lord, you're looking through these eyes today. Lord, you're going to speak through these lips today. The devil begins to quake and tremble because he's seen that in action in the book of Acts. And he does not want to see that second book of Acts written behind your life. Amen. So he's going to do everything. If he can't convince you that you don't need the Holy Ghost, you know what he'll do? He'll come along and convince you. You already got it. You believe the prophet. You accepted the message. You got it. Just sit there on a pew at Church of the Open Door and say amen whenever the preacher's preaching and clap your hands when the music gets good and shout every once in a while. You're okay. That's a lie from the pits of hell. The Bible says. And by the way, Brother Branham said that was one of the secrets to behind Billy Graham's message is he just said, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. The Bible says, without His Spirit, you're none of His. The Bible says you must be born again. The Bible says you have to repent. You have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He did what was asked of him a while ago. And he got the prize. He got the promise. If you'll do what the Bible says do, you'll receive it. Lady in my dad's church one time, I've told this before, but it bears repeating. A lady one time in my dad's church, she says, Brother Hoover, it took me 40 years to pray through to the Holy Ghost. He said, no, sister, it took you 40 years to repent. Because according to the Bible, the moment that you repent and have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is under obligation. He's under obligation to give you the Holy Ghost. If He doesn't give you the Holy Ghost, once you've fully repented and once you've been baptized in His name, then He is an Indian giver. You say, wow. Well, it's the truth. Okay? So do you know Him? Do you know what makes Him happy? Do you know what disappoints Him? Let me ask you a question. Do you know what His heartbeat sounds like? I would venture to say, I'm not trying to get off in areas I shouldn't get, but just let me, I would venture to say there's not a wife in here that doesn't know what the sound of her husband's heartbeat is. Because at some point in their relationship, she's laid her head on his chest and she's listened. And it's a great sound. It's something that means a lot to her. Do you know what God's heartbeat sounds like? Have you been that close to Him? Have you been that intimate with Him? Have you been to the point where you know what pleases Him and what doesn't please Him? Do you know what food to put on the table in front of Him when you come to the table? And do you know what to never serve again as long as you live? She does. And so should we as the bride of Jesus Christ. You say, oh, come on, Brother David. Yes, I believe you can live that close to the Master that you know what His heartbeat sounds like. It sounds something like this. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's God's heartbeat. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I'll just read it to you. Bear with me. I know this is probably not what you expected tonight, but we just listened to a tape Sunday called Witnesses. Brother Branham's praying, and he says something that just come off the tape and spoke to me. He's praying before he preaches, and he says, God, I pray for that young woman out there in the hospital just now, was in that accident, done bursted one of her lungs and tore her husband up, mashed, crushed her heart, knocked over on the other side, totally impossible with the doctors. Won't you be merciful just now? Remember, Lord, that Mr. Pritchard lying there, gasping, dying, through the gasp of breath while reaching through the oxygen tent, he received Christ as his personal Savior. Down in the funeral home today, while kneeling there in the room, that poor old woman, 80-something years old, said that she had never accepted Christ as personal Savior. And there in the funeral home at her granddaughter's funeral, accepted Christ as her personal Savior. May God be with her. Here's a prophet. This is in 1953. So he's already been on the field for 6 years. He's seen miracles after miracles after miracles. He's already been to Arkansas and stood behind a pulpit on a platform for 8 days, wasn't it? 8 days. Makes a statement before he prays for the first person. We're not leaving until every person is prayed for. Takes his food on the platform, kneels or lays down behind the pulpit and sleeps until they rouse him and say, there's more people to be prayed for, which there always was. The line never ended. He's seen all this with his eyes. He doesn't ask God for more miracles. He doesn't ask God for a bigger congregation or a bigger church. He doesn't ask God for more in the offering plate. You know what he's seeking after? At the hospital, at the funeral home, in the church house, in his neighborhood, on the streets of Jeffersonville, he's interested in one thing. Where is that lost soul? Where is that one that doesn't know Jesus Christ yet? The compelling thing behind his entire ministry. We say it was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, that was part of it. But the compelling thing was, do you know Jesus Christ? He wasn't interested in introducing you to Branham Tabernacle or to the Voice of God recordings. He wasn't interested in introducing you to the Baptist or the Methodist or the Pentecostal church. He was interested in one thing. Do you know Jesus Christ? He told that young man at Youngstown Shopping Center, as I quoted the other day, he told him, he said, there's one standing here. And he wasn't talking of himself. He said, there's one standing here who's ready to find you as soon as you're ready to be found. And then he said, we prayed with him until he gave God his heart. Do you know him like that? Do you know him that intimately? You can. You can. And now the last part. Do you know him? Now you just forgive me for the next few moments because I'm feeling like I might take off and preach here for a minute. Do you know him? Not a picture on the wall, folks. Not the object of some Sunday school teacher's lesson. Although that's good. I want the Sunday school teachers to teach about him. But do you know him? Not a figurehead. Not just somebody that we hang on our wall at home and pray. Not a mental concept. I had a mental concept for 27 years of who Jesus was. Oh, but Brother Arnie, I'm so glad that I wasn't left with just a mental concept to hold on to. But I met him one day. I met the real, live Jesus Christ. I didn't meet somebody hanging on a cross, although he hung on a cross. I didn't just meet somebody with nail scars in their hands, although he had nail scars in his hands. I didn't meet a man walking the shores of Galilee, although he walked the shores of Galilee. But I met a present tense Jesus Christ one day who came into my heart and radically changed me from who I was to who I am today. And until you have that experience and meet him in that manner, you don't have to do the same thing I did. You don't have to act like I acted. I've had people get the Holy Ghost and just weep in their seat. I've had people run around the church and when they got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not here to tell you how you're going to act. I just want you to know it will be an experience when he comes inside. And you'll never be the same. And if you are the same as you was before you met him, you haven't met him yet. He's more than a mental concept. He's more than a picture hanging on a wall. He's the Almighty. He's the Creator. Oh, hallelujah. He is the great I Am. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Son who rose with healing in his wings. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the highest of the high. Oh, hallelujah. He's more than enough. Hallelujah. He's the meal that came in the widow's house that day. Hallelujah. He's the oil in the barrel that never ran dry. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's the one which was and is and is to come. He's beyond my explaining to you. He's beyond your figuring out. You're never going to be able to understand him. You're just going to have to believe him. You're never going to be able to fully comprehend the height and the depth and the width and all that there is to him. But you can accept him. And when you accept him, your soul will be satisfied. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's my burden bearer. He's my lily in the valley. He's my bright and morning star. I can't explain him to you. I can't describe him. I just know that he's here. I know that he's knocking on somebody's heart's door right now. I know he's tugging at you, young person. I know he's asking you to weigh in the balances eternal life or that future that you hold so dear. But let me tell you, he's both the past, the present, and the future. And without him, there is no past. Without him, there is no present. And without him, there is no future. You've got to have him. And I ask you tonight again, do you know him? I'm not talking about some prophet. I'm not talking about some priest by the name of Aaron. I'm not talking about the council of the Sanhedrin. I'm not talking about some gold-gilded sanctuary that you might have seen in some temple somewhere. I'm talking about the living, breathing, walking, talking Jesus Christ, who is present tense in our midst tonight. Musicians, you can come. He's my light in the darkness. He's my way when there doesn't seem to be a way. He's my healer. He's my savior. He's my deliverer. He's the great physician. He's the balm in Gilead. Some of you know what I'm talking about tonight. Some of you have experienced him in that way. You know who I'm talking about. You understand I'm beyond the figment of our imagination. I'm beyond just words on a piece of paper. But I'm talking about the living, breathing God Almighty. And my question to you tonight is, do you know him? I met some people in my day. I shook hands with Muhammad Ali one day. I've been in the presence of the President of the United States. I've been in the presence of some millionaires and some billionaires. I've sat down at the table with people that could probably buy this entire congregation and not even flinch. But I had never met no one like him. I've never experienced anything like him living and breathing inside of me and saying, get out of the way, I need your hands for a moment. Get out of the way, I need your feet. Get out of the way, I need your eyes, I need your lips. David Hoover, just get over in the corner and just die and let me take over. He's my spring of everlasting water. He's my comfort in the midnight hour. He's my strength when I don't even have any strength to go on, Brother Arnie. He's my everything. He's my all in all. Oh, I'd like for you to meet him tonight. I'd like for you to really meet him and get to know him. Amen. He's here. Whatever he says to you, do it. If he says, come up here and kneel down, do it. If he says, kneel there at your seat, do it. If he says, bow your head and weep before me and let me have control, do it. It's not about whether it pleases me. It's not whether it impresses me or not. But it's him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I'm out of words, Lord. You just got to take over. It's your service anyway. It's not mine. Speak to these hearts tonight, Lord. I don't know who it is that you're knocking on the heart's door. There's a brother here at the altar responding. Lord, satisfy whatever that is that he needs. Lord, if there's more that need to come, would you draw them, Lord or Jesus? No, I don't want them to come because I'm asking them to come. I want them to come because they realize that the Almighty is wooing them. The Almighty is drawing them. I pray you just have your way in hearts and lives right now. Lord, just take me out of the way. Set me over in the corner somewhere. But Lord, may you be seen by these people tonight. May they recognize, Lord, whether they really know you or whether it's yet something that you want to go into a deeper relationship with them. You want to be more intimate with them, Lord, and reveal more of yourself to them. Heavenly Father, I'm responding to you. I'm raising my hands to you. I'm yielding to you. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice would do the same thing. Lord, may they be like Zach. May they forget about who all's watching them. May they forget about everything except for that promise that you made to them. And may they receive it the same way he did, Lord. All he had to do was ask. We ask you to come now, Lord. Fulfill your word, Lord, in hearts and lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just please be reverent in this presence? Would you please just forget about everybody around you and just talk to him as we worship? He loves our worship. It draws him even closer to us. So regardless of who's sitting on each side of your front of your behind you, regardless of what kind of day you've had, would you just reach out and worship him as we sing, as we worship? Oh, kings and kingdoms, they all pass away, but there's something about that name. Forget about everybody else. Just worship him. Like the fragrance after. Lord, we thank you. We praise you now, God. Hallelujah. Oh, my Jesus. 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 Let all heaven and earth. We praise you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, there's something about that name. know that line in the song that says, like the fragrance after the rain? Continue to play, please. Sister Jeannie and I took a trip. We wound up in a place called Mount Rainier. Mount Rainier, however you want to pronounce it. I decided I was going to hike up to this valley that they said was so beautiful. It's only a mile and a half away. I made it about a half mile. I found myself on the side of the path, gasping for breath, watching people older than me come down through there like nobody's business. Humbled me down, but my lasting memory of that park is I did walk through this little meadow, Brother Arnie. And in the middle of August, or at the end of August, there was thousands of flowers blooming, all different colors. I remember rounding the curve in the path, and all of a sudden, the aroma of those field flowers hit my nostrils. And it was absolutely wonderful. I hadn't seen anything like it. I hadn't smelled anything like that. I hadn't experienced anything like that. And for the rest of my life, anytime that I smell something like that, it'll take me right back to Washington State. I don't know where you were. I don't know what you were going through. But I believe there's some people in this room that have smelled the Rose of Sharon. They know what that aroma is. They know what it means that that rose was crushed one day for their sins, for their misdeeds, for their unbelief. And no matter where you're at, you could be in the middle of Walmart, you could be in the parking lot somewhere, you could be at home sitting on your couch, but when the presence of God drops down like this and that sweet aroma of the Holy Spirit begins to hit your senses, you remember that first time that his sacrifice became real to you, Brother Anthony. It was no longer something he did for Mama. It was no longer something he just did for Daddy. It was no longer something that he did for Brother Branham or he did for this preacher or that preacher, but it was something that he did for you. Folks, I got to stop. I just love him. I just love him tonight. He's more real than any sports team I've ever been interested in. He's more real than any fishing I've ever done. He's more real than any trip I've ever taken. He's more real than that little lady sitting there looking at me that's been married to me for 41 years. He truly is my all in all. He's my everything. Let's just try to sing that. He is my everything. He is my all in all. He is my everything. Oh,
Brother was asking us tonight, is he your everything? Because there's no way that you can meet him and truly know him and him not be your everything. Because to know him is to realize that he is everything, that he created everything. Everything that there is came because of him. And so he truly is our everything. Let's sing that little song, Without Him, I Could Do Nothing, number 683.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting.
Let's sing that first verse again. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without.
Suppose God searched, number 658, through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed. That would buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul.
Let's sing that little chorus. Mercy rewrote my life. You know, it was his mercy that he would come and that he would condescend to men of low estate, that he would even want to know us. Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve.
Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life.
Oh, just think about which direction you were headed.
But then mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy
time. Let's just stand and worship.
Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down.
As they play just softly, it's midweek and maybe many have to go and get to bed for work in the morning, but we're going to keep the atmosphere in here just so that for those in the audience, for those at the altar, that we can just keep praying and searching after God and knowing God. So if you want to stay, you stay. We'll keep worshiping and singing the songs of Zion. And those that want to leave, go ahead, go quietly. And out the doors. I know it's cold, but let's keep the back clear of conversation so that the atmosphere can be right for those in here. So if we just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, to know you is life, our prophet told us. To know you is life, and to know you is not just to know your word, but it's to know a person. God, we're so thankful that we can be in a relationship with you, that we can know you individually, Lord. Lord, sure, we like to come together in church as a collective body, but Father, it's each one of us knowing you individually that matters and that counts so much. God, we're so thankful that you're a personal God. We're thankful that you had mercy to rewrite our lives. Lord, my life was headed some other direction, but God, your mercy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for this service. Bless our brother Hoover for bringing this word and yielding himself to the Holy Ghost. May you refill him with virtue that has gone out from him, Lord. And, Lord, just as he's been battling throughout this week, Lord, we pray that you give him a good week for the remainder of the week. Give him a break, Lord. Give him some rest, Lord, we ask you. Lord, be with our pastor, Lord, as he's preached tonight. May you fill him with rest and as he's vacationing a little bit, and strengthen him as well, Lord God. Now be with each one of us as we go, Lord, as separate ways. Let this atmosphere continue with us, Lord. May we never grieve your presence away from us, Lord. We love you and we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. God's mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down. But mercy
Chorus number 617.
More of you. More of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Oh, let it be your prayer. I want more of you, more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had, oh yes, Jesus, I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you, more of you. I want more of you. Oh, we want to know you more, Jesus. We want a closer walk, Lord. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had. But yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Oh, I want more of you. Oh, more. Yeah.
So one word.